Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
No. This is a crazy place, man.
I'm not supposed to stand on that part of the ladder.
They don't even have anyone spotting the ladder. That's an OSHA violation.
What? Terrified that Seth drops down the ceiling like Oscar in The Office and maybe hits me
or
something.
Yeah.
That's the classic.
Yeah, Kenny, it's a classic.
You remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Why did it happen, Kenny? Why?
Because,
why was he in the ceiling?
They were having the potluck with the chili in the...
No.
You go back to that same... God damn it, man. Goodness gracious.
I might watch some Office over the Thanksgiving.
I can literally hear Seth walking around up in the ceiling.
Crazy. I don't know how
Seth is up there. Like, that's crazy.
Around,
we just looked over, like, you know, it's the holidays because one of our engineers is climbing through the roof right now, probably moving wires around
or
God knows what.
Interviewing for this job. Oh, yeah, I just need to reset some computers and just normal IT stuff. Okay. Yeah, day one. Get in the ceiling.
Shout out to our engineers, man.
Going through the ceiling like Sammy Sosa's boy who tried to get the cork bat from the umpires.
Oh, goodness.
Tried to steal it from the umpire's office.
Big thanks to Ruthie Bolton for being here. And we are commercial free to the top of the 4 o'clock hour, man. We've got 49ers football tonight, Monday Night Football, 49ers and Panthers. And, of course, we got Kings basketball tonight as they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, lost in all of this, James, talk about owners, general managers, wins, what to take away. That is the end of a very long road trip. Mm. They're home here for the first time in about a week and some change to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Again, by the way, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves, if you actually look at the schedule closely, they haven't played anyone other than the Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like
that's
a revolving. Yeah.
And this is the end of that, though.
It's three versus Denver or two?
No, this
is
three.
And this is the third versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. They called it a round robin tournament on the broadcast. I thought that was accurate. Feel like a round robin. Except for the Kings would have been
eliminated. I was going to say the Kings, yeah, they didn't.
They got bounced.
They didn't make it around that robin too often.
Yeah.
What are they, 1-8?
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. Hey, no, but they put up a good effort a couple times, guys.
1-7 going into tonight, I think.
Oh, Shamanade right.
Not in this Maui invitation.
Yeah.
It's
tough, Hammer, because the Kings actually did play pretty well against the Denver Nuggets on Saturday. I just don't think anyone has any like takeaways from it. It's like, oh, good. They played well. Nice. And it's like, all right, like it's a whole new game tonight, a whole new opponent, and no one has any clue what they're going to see from the Sacramento Kings tonight.
No, I mean, I think that's the problem the entire season. You just don't know what to expect, right? And for the most part, what you do expect is not very good basketball. So to watch good basketball, that's a good thing. To see them kind of come through whatever it is they're going through, you just hope they can continue it with some way. I thought they played really well against OKC last week before they got, you know, the doors blown off them by Memphis. So you are seeing like better basketball, But this is, it comes back to that thing that Doug Christie kept saying early in the season. Like, I don't want to hear that you can't do it because I've seen you do it. I saw you do it in the first couple of games of the season. I saw you do it in the win over Milwaukee. So don't tell me you can't do something when I've seen you do it. So go out there and just play harder, you know, extend, you know, whatever effort and energy you're doing for 48 minutes and you might have something. Man, you look at the box score from this game, and I think if you really dive into it, there are a lot of things that we would have been yelling about here today if they would have lost. You know, the fact that Dennis Schroeder didn't play in the fourth quarter after going 6 of 8 from the field and having 7 assists and leading the team with 21 points, doesn't play. He played 10 seconds in the fourth quarter. The fact that, you know, Keon Ellis didn't play at all. You know, the fact that Keegan Murray got hot in the third quarter, they went away from him. You're like, what are you doing? But it doesn't matter when you win. That's kind of the way it goes. All of those things kind of melt away, and we'll save those questions probably for tomorrow or maybe for Thursday or something. Well, we don't have a show on Thursday. You know, maybe later in the week when things go wrong again. And so I'm hoping we don't continuously have like the other shoe falling. But it kind of feels like that's what the season is going to be. And we got to hold on for the wild ride and, you know, players getting traded and just chaos because we're already in it.
Talk about Keegan being hot in the third. Dennis had like 12 in that third quarter.
Yeah.
It was Keegan and Dennis that whole quarter.
Yeah. I think Keegan had 8 points in a row at one point, just a couple of threes and a two. I thought like his first minute of play was so stellar. Like, he just set the table. Like, he had a steal. He had a dunk. Everything that you wanted to see from him in the first quarter, like, he had it. And in the first, like, two possessions. And that's what you're hoping he can do. He can step in and start providing something other than what they've had, which is a lot of the same stuff. So, he's different.
James, did you see kind of what others saw? I think that it was a 13-point lead in that second quarter or whatever, and it felt like that's usually the time when this group this year has kind of folded up the tent and gone home, when adversity strikes. And to be able to respond to that by battling back, that's something that we probably haven't seen, it feels like, since the Milwaukee game. You know what I mean? And Did you kind of get that same sense that the game was kind of teetering at that point and they were able to compose themselves and stay locked in and eventually end up getting a win on that game on Saturday night?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was like right in the middle of the third quarter when that happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Drew Eubanks got the tech. That's when Jamal Murray stepped to the line, hit the free throw, and made it a 13-point game with like 7.5 minutes left in the third. And then it hovered around there. You know, Jokic had a pair of free throws, put it back up to 12, and was like, uh-oh. And then that's when you started having, you know, Keegan Murray rebound and then a pull-up 19-footer. And then, you know, that's when he started to roll a little bit, three-point shot, and really started to make an impact. Yeah, I thought it was a really fun game, but you did, I think we're conditioned this season to go, uh-oh. You know, to kind of have that oh no, here it comes. They're about to fall apart. And specifically the third quarter hasn't been good. But for them to bounce back and not only, you know, tie the game, but actually take a lead in that quarter, was really impressive when they're down by 13. And then just to play really well in the fourth, like, all right, like, if that's what you're going to do, you know, keep doing it. It's fine. No one's going to get mad at you if you win some ball games here.
Played really well in the second half overall. But you mentioned winning does kind of fix everything. It changes the narrative of the conversation. But there would be things that were up for discussion. There would be things that people would yell about had this game not gone Sacramento's way. And the one that would be at the top of the list is Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis got a DNP CD, and this is on the heels of Jake Fisher and Mark Stein reporting that everybody's available. Then I don't know how much of a report that actually is, as much as it's just common sense. Not suggesting that those guys aren't sourced or anything like that. It's just everybody in Sacramento was saying, trade everybody the day before. So it's like, yeah, okay, in all likelihood, there's going to be a lot of players available, except for, according to the reports, Keegan Murray and Nick Clifford. Again, makes sense. It's the young guys, but one thing that got a lot of Kings fans distraught was the fact that Keon Ellis wasn't on that list. What do you make of Keon's DMP and what it's starting to appear like this franchise feels about him as a player?
Yeah, I don't know that we can take one game and just look at it and say, hey, this is why. This is what's going to happen, or this is how they feel about him. But I would say, like, look, the Kings are, they are open for business. Like, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, well before Jake Fisher brought it up, that, you know, they are going to take phone calls. They don't have, it's not a garage sale. There isn't, like, a table out front with price tags on everybody's name, on everybody, you know, on their jerseys. But it's close to that. And, like, look, at there are a couple of players that, number one, they love Nick Clifford. You know, that's why they drafted. And number two, they just paid Keegan Murray, and there's really no way to trade him with all the base year compensation rules and everything that go into signing an extension with the player. But outside of that, I mean, like, you're a broken franchise at this point. And I would love to tell you that, you know, Keon Ellis will be a part of this, but they kind of made their bed with Keon this summer. And then this is just like a furthering of the point, you know, that you're going to have a difficult time keeping him. And if, you know, like what Jake Fisher brought up, you might be able to get a first round pick for Keon. Okay. Then the Kings need to trade Keon. I mean, I'm a big Keon supporter here. I think the Kings need more Keon Ellis's, but they need to flip this entire roster. And what one future first round pick can get you is a lot in this league. It can really help you not only find another young player potentially, but it can also help you maybe move off of a big contract that you couldn't move off of. If you have to use Keon to get rid of a bigger contract, I hate that idea, but you would still have to listen. And so I'm intrigued to see where they go from here. Again, as someone who thinks that you should be building a team around players like Keon Ellis, I understand that you just have this massive logjam in the backcourt. And, you know, Doug Christie's struggling with playing guys like Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder together on the court. And then you've got Malik Monk, and then you've got a $47 million Zach LaVine. Like, where are you supposed to fit Keon Ellis in? And I guess the answer is it could be at the expense of Nick Clifford, but you also have Nick Clifford under contract for 4 years. So that's where it separates itself. And if you do have to end up trading Keon Ellis, I could definitely see Nick Clifford being the shooting guard of the future on this team. And maybe that's what it comes down to. But I really hope that it doesn't. I hope that they figure things out and that Keon is going to be here long term. But like this is the NBA, you know?
And to be honest with you, no shade to Keon or anything else like that. But he's not untouchable. Like, hey, what are we talking about? Yeah, Keon Ellis is not untouchable. That doesn't mean they want to trade him. That doesn't mean they'll give him away. But I don't even think, and you laid out, you know, some of the reasons why they may feel that way, but I don't even think Keegan Murray and Nick Clifford are or should be untouchable. Like, if you're Scott Perry, you're looking at every scenario that allow you to help turn this thing around. The prices may not be the same for guys like Keegan and Nick as it is for DeMar DeRozan, but everybody's an option. Like, you're in such dire straits with this roster. Everybody and everything is at the very least an option. There is no untradeable guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. I would just tell you that Keegan and Nick probably have more value on the open trade market right now than any other player on the roster. Like, way more than DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine, who, again, is close to untradeable at this point. And not, you know, same with Sabonis. I don't think Sabonis is untradeable, but you're going to have to wait till Sabonis is healthy before anyone makes any move there. And they're not in a good position. But we kind of should have seen all of this coming because, again, Scott Perry flipped the entire Knicks roster in a year. Like, almost every single piece. So there might be some residuals here left when it's all said and done. But the reason why you're flipping a roster is because it's not built in his image, for one. But also, it's just flat-out broken. So, like, there isn't a bunch of reasons to hold on to this roster unless you can have some really nice, like, shake-up moments. You know, I could see a way, we're talking about DeMar DeRozan, but, you know, the Clippers have called on DeMar DeRozan from Sam Amick said today, but also, like, I've heard the same thing, that there's interest there from the Clippers. They're not super happy with John Collins. I don't love John Collins as a long-term fix in Sacramento, but maybe he is a long-term fix. You go out and you get a guy like John Collins, you put him next to Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis on the front line, and maybe you have something. He is like the prototypical guy that they've been looking for, a guy who can stretch the floor, a guy who can rebound, a guy who can be a rim runner and finish above the rim, a guy who blocks shots. And, you know, maybe that is the type of player that they've been looking for and could sort of complete what you have. Then again, he's on an expiring $26 million deal. So worst case scenario, you get to try somebody out for a couple of months. You might get to save the $10 million on DeMar DeRozan that you owe for next season. And you can at least try something different that roster-wise makes a whole lot more sense than what they have right now. And it would also allow you, again, to move Keegan to the three, which I think everybody is kind of pulling for in Sacramento, sort of that natural position that if you can get him there, you might be able to have a size advantage at that position moving forward. And that would be a nice like luxury for this team to have.
It feels like I asked the question earlier. It feels like when it comes to Keon, someone's wrong. The fan base is wrong or the organization is wrong. Someone is wrong in their assessment of Keon Ellis. You mentioned Sam Amick. His last line of his article, his conversation with Scott Perry, he talks about DeMar, which you just referenced. He talks about Malik Monk and the Jonathan Kuminga stuff. And he, you know, kind of goes on. He says the list goes on from there. With fourth-year guard Keon Ellis, widely seen as the most coveted Kings players among rival teams. Who's wrong when it comes to the assessment of Keon Ellis?
You know, I know when I went and had conversations with people within the franchise early this offseason, it was they knew who Keegan was and they knew that what they had there and they were going to work to extend him. But Keon, they weren't quite sure what they have. You know, we're still talking about a guy who was a two-way player, a guy who, you know, averages, you know, 6-7 points a game. Good three-point shooter, really good three-point shooter, really good defender. But part of the problem with this team is that they didn't have enough playmaking and all of a sudden they have too much playmaking. Like, I don't know if anyone's wrong as much as, like, the Kings' assessment is probably at this point looking at 2 years from now and not today. And so if you're going to look at Keon Ellis as, like, a 25-year-old, at, you know, going on 26... Like, what does he look like when this thing starts to turn the corner, hopefully, or starts to get clear? And can you afford to go pay a Keon Ellis $10 or $12 million or $14 million this offseason when you're probably not going to be very good and you're already trying to get rid of all these other big contracts? So it's kind of a tough situation to be in. Again, my personal thing, just like years ago when Monty McNair walked in the door and the first thing he did is he decided not to match the contract offer for Bogdan Bogdanovic. I thought that was just crazy. But it wasn't his roster, and if he would have brought Bogdan back, you're running it back with the same people. I think Scott thinks he can find other players like Keon moving forward. He can go out and get more players like that somehow. And that, you know, it hurt immediately, sure, but there are other ways in which you can kind of backfill that position. And I mean, even they have a guy named Devin Carter sitting there on the bench who might be able to backfill some of what Keon Ellis does. It's not the same, but maybe you've got something there. Maybe you don't. Maybe you find it. You start cycling through second round picks again this offseason or, you know, undrafted guys. And maybe you find another guy like this. But what I will tell you is I know very specifically there are teams around the league who want Keon Ellis on their roster and think that the Kings have bungled this and are crazy for not locking him up long term.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What do you think those teams are willing to give up? Like, do you think he can net you a first round pick? It seems a little rich, but do you think he has that type of value around the league?
I don't think he does today, because you have no, if you trade for him between now and December, what is it, December 6th? February 6th, you can't actually extend him until February 9th. So if you're trading for him, it's with the understanding that he could just bail on you. So that's where the value comes in. Like, how much value does he have? And you limited the value of Keon Ellis this offseason when you went out and you made the moves that you did. Now, the other side of this is that teams that are, you know, over the cap, or even like second apron teams, because Keon doesn't make any money, they might have a young player on their roster that they can swap player for player and maybe give up a pick for a guy like Keon, because he only makes $2.3 million. It's slightly above the veteran minimum. But again, this is like a player that you might be able to go out and get something with, whether it's future assets. And that's, you know, it's kind of where the Kings are at. They need to go out and not just replenish their, you know, stock up on first round picks, but replenish all their second round picks that are gone. Like, the way you get better in this league, it's not always like the big swing for the fence move. Sometimes it's taking the second round pick and trading it for a starting level center to back up your center at the trade deadline, or going out and getting a 23-year-old small forward / power forward who's 6'9" and can do everything that you've been asking everyone else to do, who just isn't 6'9" on your roster. And that's what the Kings did last year with 3 second-round picks. They squandered those picks because they gave away Jonas Valanciunas for nothing, and they lost Jake LaRavia to the Lakers because they couldn't pay him more than the Lakers could. But that's still, it's part of the process here. The Kings don't have that type of asset hiding in their war chest right now. So going out and getting two or three second round picks, number one, you probably should have just held on the ones you had last year instead of making moves because your season was already cooked and you just didn't want to admit it when you traded De'Aaron Fox. But also, like, that's, it's part of the process here to build, you know, to build, rebuild this franchise is to go get draft capital.
It's funny to think, like, the Keon thing just boils down to, I don't think they believe he's good. Because it's not just Mike Brown anymore. It's Doug Christie, too. Like, they're finding ways to not play him. They're finding reasons to not play him. It's strange to me to read about how coveted a player is across the league. I think it also speaks to how lowly this franchise is thought of. You have a player who can oftentimes not get minutes or not get off the bench in the case of Saturday, and the league, like, league, you know, league quotes, wants him. They're like, no, we need that kid. It's like they see something that this organization, I just don't think, sees. They don't believe Keon Ellis is what a lot of fans think he is.
See if we can get a first for Sarge.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I'm just so, like, there are teams around the league that not only want
him. Sarge played it all this year.
Yeah, he played early.
And, and then Doug was like, no more.
Never again.
Didn't he start a game?
Yeah, it was.
No.
I was at the game, and he looked awful. What?
Sarge started a game?
I'm going to look right now.
It wasn't OKC. It was like on a weekday, and he looked terrible.
Well, given the fact that Doug has had 14 different lineups, okay.
He did start Isaac Jones, Dylan Cardwell.
Oh, he did.
Neat Clifford twice.
What was like the third game of the season?
It's like the Lakers.
Yeah,
it was the Lakers.
That was it. I think that might have been the last time we saw Sarge.
Dario Saric played 4 minutes against the Lakers.
Yeah, he's played 3 games total.
Let's take a quick peek here. Was Casey right? It appears he was, and Dario Saric played the first 3 games of the season and never played again.
It was so, that Lakers game was so bad.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Never again. I don't care. I will put Devin Carter at the 4. I ain't playing him.
Didn't he hit like 5 threes in a preseason game, or at least 3 threes in a preseason game?
Actually, sounds about right.
Yeah,
it was like, Portland, hey. Maybe.
Yeah,
I think it was the Portland game.
Here we go, guys. Dario's hitting threes. Nobody bought that. Literally no one. No one bought that at all.
No, but you have to look at Dario Saric and the way that they have Dario Saric as like a potential, like when you go to make trades, there could be a reason why you have a $5.4 million contract on your roster.
Yeah.
You know, they had up until like, I think the end of August to buy him out and use the stretch provision. Now it's too late. They may regret that now just because it would have saved them a couple of $1 million. And if they can't pull off a big deal, then what are you going to do? Just waive Dario Saric after February 6th? Probably. But at the same time, like, look, it is kind of like you need these little placeholders for salary matching purposes. And there's always a possibility something bigger pops up here in the next, you know, 6 weeks. As we build up to the trade deadline.
I completely understand it. To Damian's point though, what do you think that
I think it's Seth in the walls. Don't worry about it. I don't think anyone can hear it except for us.
You got a ghost?
It's a gust of wind.
Our engineer is literally in the walls of our building, right, just like here, walking around and drilling.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It's one thing to be in the ceiling. He might be in the walls. That's the crazy part.
Well, the noise I heard was back here, so he's...
Sound like an owl.
Cuckoo, yeah. Oh, cuckoo.
You could hear that? I didn't think anyone could hear it.
No, I could hear that. I was like, wait, we got a ghost?
Yeah.
To Davis' point, though, do you think Scott Perry, Doug Christie, these guys look at Keon Ellis as being a good basketball player and somebody that they need if they're trying to win or turn the culture around? Because to his point, like, if they do, they got a funny way of showing it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I do think they like Keon. I do. And I know Doug really likes Keon. But, some, like, I know it's tough, but like, look, the idea here is you do have to continue to show teams around the league that some of these players are still active and can play, because you might trade one of these players. It's not like here's how I would say it's totally different than, because the 49ers game is coming on tonight. The Brandon Ayuk situation is just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in the NFL, right? Where they basically violated his contract this summer and didn't say anything about it to anybody. Ayuk didn't say anything about it to anyone and didn't even fight with the players union when the 49ers, like, they wiped out $24 or $26 million in guaranteed money for next season. That to me is absolutely crazy. And then you hear Shanahan, this is how I'll tie it back to Keon. You hear Shanahan sitting here saying, oh, well, yeah, we might, you know, we'd like to still get him on the field. It's like, BS, bro. You're never putting him on the field ever again.
You're never bringing him in your facility.
Why would you possibly put him on the field, have him get hurt again, a guy who's coming back off a catastrophic, like, multi-ligament knee injury, have him get hurt again, and now you owe him, like, a payout for... No, you're not doing that. Remember when the Raiders sent Derek Carr home and said, yeah, we're good, bro.
Yeah.
We'll see you... We'll waive you on July 1st, whenever the deadline is. Like, we'll send you out then, but you don't need to come back. We don't need you in the building at all. And so that's where, like, I think the Kings are kind of in this weird situation where you've got to deal with some of these other guys, and you don't know if Keon's going to be part of that or not. But at the same time, like, if Doug Christie loses 18 games in a row, it doesn't matter how much everyone likes him, he's getting fired. You have to actually win games. You can't just, like, put the season in coast and say, hey, we're just going to lose. You know, we have 4 wins now. We're going to go 4-78. You can't. You got to keep going out there and fighting. And sometimes that means you got to put some of these veterans on the court so you can move those veterans down the road.
You can't lose games in the NBA and win.
Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah. Paraphrasing old Trent Dilfer. How do you think Maxime Raynaud did on Saturday? He had a hell of a job with no Domantas Sabonis. Him and Drew Eubanks had to guard both Nikola Jokic and Jonas Valanciunas for 48 minutes. And I thought he did fine, like, as well as he possibly can.
Got in foul trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been in foul trouble virtually every game he's played more than 3 minutes. but how do you think Max is looking so far early in this season when he plays?
I thought he was excellent in the first half, and I don't believe that he played in the second half.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, again, it is one of the most difficult covers you're ever going to have if you're a rookie, if you're looking out there, and not only is it, you know, the best player in basketball, Nikola Jokic, who went for 31 in the second half alone. When Raynaud, again, did not play. Raynaud played 0 minutes, 0 seconds in the second half. Like, look, I thought he held his own, but then when they go to their bench, it's Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
And I think Max is learning. Like, first of all, he's a super smart guy.
That offensive foul that Drew Eubanks picked up, where Valanciunas is just, it really was Butcher Boy's shoulder, shoulder. Shoulder, and then Drew Eubanks takes the bump backwards, and the Kings get the call.
Yeah,
I was like, JV, what are you doing? Like, it wasn't even subtle. Like, he was like daring the officials to blow the whistle, and it wasn't until Drew Eubanks took the bump that they blew the whistle. But that was fun. It just, I love Valanciunas. It's terrific. But that play was
the nasty boy.
I do too.
No.
But look, they have like 14 feet of, like, physical, crazy European centers. Mm-hmm. And you don't. You've got, I guess, one European 7-foot center. No, I guess you do have two. You just didn't have the other one there.
No.
But, like, look, that team is just built to go so deep in the playoffs, it's ridiculous. Yeah. That Denver Nuggets team. And I think Max did a great job of learning, because that's what this is about. You know, he made my 6 quick thoughts, because the first half, you know, I thought he was superb. Like, did he do everything right? No. Did he have fouls and stuff? Yeah. But when you look across the board and he goes 3 of 5 from the field, at 6 points and 3 rebounds and an assist and a steal, It's like, okay. Like, that's a good first half for a rookie playing against, like, a superstar and a very, very good center in Valanciunas.
Yeah, I look at Max, and I feel like we're still in that stage where he's kind of like a baby giraffe. Like, he's just, you know, he doesn't have his legs under him. I don't know if that's going to happen this year or maybe, you know, a summer of working out and strength training and all this other stuff. But he's getting, you know, baptized by fire when it comes to the NBA. And now he's going to have his good minutes. I thought he played well in that first half as well. But he got into a situation where he couldn't defend without fouling. Kind of got, I think he had three, maybe four fouls in the first half. I don't know if that's why he didn't play in the second half. But he just looks like he's continuing to try to get his legs under him. And I'm okay with throwing him out there and letting him figure it out that way, playing out there on the court, playing against these NBA guys and these, you know, these great centers in the league and figuring out how to survive in the league and prosper in the league that way.
Yeah, he just kind of looks frazzled a lot, like even when he's just running in space. You know, so many things are going through his mind at any given second. And he's looking around. He's trying to direct traffic. He's doing a very good job of being vocal. He's doing a very good job of rebounding, which he did not do either in summer league or in preseason. It really does look like he's taken that challenge on to go be a better rebounder. And these are sort of the steps that you're hoping that he would take. I, you know, like we would debate this on the podcast all the time, me and Sean, but I thought that there would come a point in, you know, December or January where Drew Eubanks' numbers were phased out and Maxime Reyno's numbers were, you know, elevated. And in a perfect world, he would be down playing 32 minutes a game for the G League right now and really just building his confidence, getting better. But instead, he's getting like a PhD level indoctrination into the NBA, going up against great players every single night and having to deal with it and trying to get better on the fly. So I do like the process of getting him better because, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, he could be a major player for you, whether it's, you know, 15 minutes a night or heaven forbid, you might get to a point where he is a starting power forward or a starting center for you. And so you've got to at least, you know, put some time into developing him and seeing what you can, what you have there.
What do you think? Do you think we'll ever get to the point this season where you can assess what you think the team will look like that night?
No.
Yeah.
No, because I don't know what's going to happen from one night to the next. Like, I don't know who's going to show up, who's not. And it does feel like every time someone steps forward, someone else has to step back or just looks like they slipped and forgot how to play basketball.
If you had to pinpoint why they won Saturday, what like if I said, James, why did the Sacramento Kings win that game Saturday? What would you say?
They played really hard. And you know, I think
that's a goddamn shame. Because that's been such a prevailing talking point.
Yeah.
The last week or 2 weeks that they're not.
Yeah. No, I get that. But I also.
And it was obvious that they were on Saturday.
The 32 assists and what I think 8 turnovers as a team. Like, that's huge. Like, that's one of the first times I was watching because it started to become a trend early in the game. DeMar DeRozan finished, I think, with 5 assists, right? 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Yeah. I looked every time I thought he was going to pull up for some weird mid-range jump shot. He didn't. He passed the ball to a better shot. And I was like, oh, man, that is so refreshing. Like, I don't, if DeMar DeRozan's open, go ahead and shoot it, man. You're one of the greatest mid-range jump shooters in the history of the game. That's fine. But they're, this season specifically, there's been so many forced shots, not just by him, but by so many of the other players. And so to watch him like realize that he was about to take an ill-advised shot and then move it to the corner to a wide open look, I was really happy to see that it wasn't just, again, Russell Westbrook coming out and getting 11 assists, or it wasn't just Dennis Schroeder getting his 7 assists. It was a team effort, and the 32 assists, there's one guy, which is Precious, who didn't have an assist of the 10 players who played. That's a good sign. It means that everybody kind of got the memo that the only way out of this is to be a better teammate. Mm. And so if we're going to see that, like an acceptance of that being the fact, The only way forward is if you're a better teammate and you look to get your teammate a better shot, then this team has a shot to pull out of this because they still have talent. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the fit is horrible. Mm-hmm. And they know that, and they've got to figure out a way around fit. And that means you got to be something you're not sometimes. And that's okay. These guys are actual basketball players. They can do a lot more than just score the ball. It's just that's what they prefer to do. And if you force them to start expanding on who they are and what they are, you probably can climb out of this mess a little bit, especially with the back half of the season. Like from here on out, the Kings have the easiest strength of schedule in the NBA.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Do you think, well, we kind of talked about it earlier, but I think one of the reasons they were able to turn things around on Saturday and win that game was for the first time in a few weeks, when adversity hit, they didn't fold. They didn't quit. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a different mindset. It was like, oh, man, I'm going to get us out of it, whatever the case may be. They stayed together. They stayed focused on the task, and they stayed engaged on the game and winning the game. And we go back to that time in the third quarter when, you know, for the most part, it would happen a little earlier in some of these other games. But for the most part, they'd be hit with one of those moments when, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight back? Are you going to wilt under the pressure, or are you going to continue to fight forward and try to win this game? And on Saturday, I don't know who it was, if it was one individual or a group of guys or whatever, they decided to continue to fight forward and not let that deter them. And to me, that's when they won the game, when they decided to compete, decided to fight.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of Kings fans, they're hoping for the tank at this point, right? We have our friend Mark Robertson in the chat, who's a tank commander. Like, he's all in, but that's just not good for the soul of a franchise. Like, we're not to game 20 yet. Like, you can't just go, hey, let's lose them all. This is good. No, man, you don't come back from that. You don't. In that case, every player has to go, because like trying to like rehab somebody after a season like that is nearly impossible. You talk about are you a hostage or are you a volunteer? At that point, what's the other like alternative to like being a hostage? You're just like a hostage who doesn't care anymore, like an ambivalent hostage. Like, yeah, I'm a hostage. I don't really care if I ever get home. Like, all right, this is what's happening. I guess I'm just going to live here in the dirt forever and eat whatever scraps of food you give me as a hostage.
Jesus.
I'm okay with it.
You got Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
I don't. I think I've said this before. The psychology of sports is it's a fascinating thing, both I think for athletes, but really I think for fans also. And there's something about tanking that I think protects fans' hearts. It's because right now they're not trying to be bad, and it hurts. It's like this isn't the way it was supposed to be. This sucks. But if we trade all of these guys and we have Max playing 40 minutes and Neek and Keon and I don't know, apparently Dario Saric playing 40 minutes, then it's like, well, we weren't supposed to win. It's easier to accept losing when you think, no, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lose. Yay. That's a good thing. With Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine, we're not supposed to lose. That's not fun. When you put a title on it, you can protect it. And it's like tanking. Yeah, I know we're losing, but we're supposed to lose, and it's
okay. No, this is part of the plan.
It's part of the plan. Duh. Everybody knows that. It's okay. And then it's just the psychological component, I think, of being a sports fan.
No, I'm with you 100%. Like, if you were to just say, okay, from here on out, we're going to play every young player 30-plus minutes per game, I'd be like, okay. Like, I think fans would get behind it. It's like, oh, man, look. Maxime Reyno didn't foul out tonight, and he ended up with another double-double, and you're watching him grow. You're watching him get better. All of a sudden, somewhere, there'll be a stretch of games for 8 games where he's hitting a bunch of 3-point shots, and everyone's like, oh, my gosh, he can shoot the threes. Like, yeah, that's what he did at the college level. He shot a ton of threes. But then you're watching the maturation of a player. But when it is sort of like this older group of players that aren't, like, sort of living up to their responsibilities, it just becomes really frustrating to watch. Because it's like you're looking at some of these guys, and, you know, we had that one game, I think it might have been the Memphis game, where 3 plays in a row, they had turnovers, and it was Domas, it was Russ, and it was DeMar. And all 3 of them were live ball turnovers that led to dunks on the other end. All 3 of them were egregious. And you just sat there shaking your head like, man, it almost looks like you're trying to be that bad. Mm. Like, you are too good of a basketball player to do that, and then to watch your teammate do it, and then you do it right afterwards, and then the next guy does it. You're like, I know it can become contagious, but, man, like, that's just not good basketball. I mean, like, you're a better basketball player than that. And so I think that's where, like, we're sort of caught here between what's going to be next and what we're currently watching. And that's also like a really, really tough position to be in. And it's a tough position to be in as players. You know, we saw DeMar DeRozan talk about how he had never been through a coach getting fired in the first, you know, midway through the season. And I was like, man, how is that possible in 17 years? Like, I've been through it like 5 times. I don't get it. At least 5 times, probably more. But for DeMar, he's also now hearing his name mentioned in trade rumors. I don't believe he's ever been traded midseason. And so now you have that situation as well, where he's starting to get a little bit like, oh, well, this is uncomfortable. What is happening? What does that even look like? Like, what do I do about the place that I live in here? Where does all my stuff go? Like, how do I, like, that's what, and am I going to get sent to LA where my family is, or am I going to get sent to Miami, or am I going to get sent to New York or somewhere else? And I'm going to have to pick up and move and be chaotic for 3 months where, you know, I might not see, you know, family and friends for a couple of months. Like, it's a very weird situation to be in, especially for some of these veterans who haven't had this sort of, you know, move around, bounce around the country type thing.
Sounds like a crazy question, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you have a pulse on what type of Kings team you might see tonight?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
I figured. Yeah, I would like to tell you.
124-110 the last time these two teams played, 144-117 the time before that.
So 124-110, is that what you said?
124-110 was on November 14th, and 144-117, that was the game that really altered how I was feeling about this team, was November 9th. Domas played in both of them. Didn't play particularly well in the first one.
Went crazy.
Definitely, yeah, played really well in the second one. But Keegan Murray didn't play in either one of those either. So we're not allowed to have all five starters available at once. So
them are the rules.
Those are the rules, man. Those are the rules. So it did look like it would be nice, if nothing else, to see Keegan get in a flow. And maybe as much as Keegan Murray can, like, take charge a little bit.
Oh.
Okay, you the guy out here.
I've liked what I've seen so far.
Like, yeah, and it felt like felt like he was really comfortable yesterday as the game started. You noted the first few minutes of the game. He looked like he was really comfortable yesterday. And given that was his, second game?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that continues to grow. Again, it's always going to be difficult because it's like, all right, great, the Kings won. And then, okay, realization, it's Minnesota tonight. Domas isn't there. And that's just going to be the case for the next, you know, the next week and some change or whatever it is. But I'd like to see, you know, Keegan kind of puff his chest out a little bit over the course of the next 8 to 10 days.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's game on time, you know. Great. He's healthy. He can play. I love that Doug Christie's letting him play as many minutes as possible to get him back in shape.
Yeah.
He does look like he's a little out of shape just overall. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see where this goes because, again, the one way out of this whole mess, one thing that you might be able to pin your hopes to for the future is Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. And you need it now. You need him to start showing that that's who he's going to be.
First home game of the season for Keegan Murray.
That's right.
So get a nice little ovation. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. As always, we appreciate you for being with us. It is a busy night tonight with your Sacramento Kings in action at the Golden 1 Center versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And your San Francisco 49ers are hosting the Carolina Panthers. We'll be back here to cover it all beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, light the beam. Let's go, Niners.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.